Hello, Americans. You know what the news is. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. This is Paul Murphy for Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. To reduce energy costs, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning will show you a new high-efficiency system that can save you money. Call Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning for a free estimate at 221-2642 or visit us online at homecomfort.org. And that's the rest of the story. Good day.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in to another episode of Sports Talk. It is May 15th, from a rainy Reading, surprisingly. I am not Connor Sutton. I'm Dan Anderson. Alongside me is Bryce Ritchie. How you doing, Bryce?
Good, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
And in the booth, Jared King, who is very excited about
Connor not being here.
Well, he knows when I'm here, we talk a lot of soccer, and I know he loves soccer.
So he's a big soccer fan.
We've got a full hour. He gave me two thumbs up, so that's giving me the green light.
Yeah. If you're ever looking for approval, that's it right there.
Exactly.
Jared King never gives two thumbs up.
Connor is not here. I can only imagine he's celebrating his first victory against me in a bet we had against each other. He had finally got his first win, and what I have to say is very controversial situation. For those of you that may remember, if you were listening a few weeks ago, we bet on the Sharks versus Avalanche series. It went to seven games, and the Avalanche lost by one goal in game seven. And we had a goal taken back on obviously I'm biased, it's a very controversial call. But
a lot of what I read would agree with you as well. And there was not 100% certainty that was the right call.
Exactly. So. But good for Connor. He's probably off celebrating still for that. But we got a lot of sports to get into. Basketball is really in the full swing of things. They had the NBA lottery last night. The playoffs conference finals are starting right now. We also have hockey playoffs, obviously, which I'm trying to avoid because I'm still in a dark place about it. But we'll start off with the NBA draft lottery. For those of you who didn't follow along, basically the Zion sweepstakes happened last night. New York Knicks fans were pretty much set that they were getting Zion.
Everyone was.
And they are not getting Zion. It is going to be the New Orleans Pelicans with the first pick, and barring some crazy situation, Zion will be a Pelican, although there are some stars that we will touch on here in the next segment or two that may send Zion somewhere else. The Memphis Grizzlies will pick number two. They're probably going to end up with John Morant, and the New York Knicks get three. Lakers get four. They were the big movers in this whole thing, jumping all the way up to four, and the Cleveland Cavaliers round out the top five. The Lakers is funny to me, though, because they did make the big jump, but by all accounts, this is a three-man draft.
It's
J.R. Barrett from Duke, Zion Williams from Duke, and John Morant from Murray State.
Yeah.
And anywhere else after that. So to me, especially as a Kings fan, it was funny to see the Lakers jump up, but just not quite far enough to get one of these big three players.
Missed it by that much.
So Zion, the look on his face, he was in attendance, the look on his face, didn't seem too thrilled to be a Pelican. Let me ask you this. If you're the Pelicans, because there's been some rumors that the Knicks, they have a lot of trade capital, the Lakers have a lot of trade capital. Is there a situation, if you're the Pelicans, you do not draft Zion?
Only if he backs out and goes back to Duke.
Yeah, that is the one crazy. So, thankfully, for those of you who may not know, he has not signed an agent, and he has not signed a shoe deal. So, in theory, he can say, oh, Pelicans, I'm not liking that, I'll go back to Duke. But he does have – he has to declare 10 days prior. So, if he's
– correct.
So, in theory, we'll say, okay, he's in the draft, and you're the Pelicans. Do you trade that pick for anything? Is there a situation where you would give up Zion?
Yeah, if I'm you care to a certain extent about a player's happiness, but if you know, after seeing the way their head coach reacted when the pick came through and just screaming out profanity and excitement.
Very excited.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that they do it. But if I'm the Pelicans, I don't know. It really just depends on how much you value his happiness, or if you think there's a probable chance that he backs out if you don't trade him. Because I think, along with 98% of the people watching, that we all thought that Zion, and Zion included, thought that he would be going to New York. And so you can still get a really, really good pick if you trade down. Like, if you trade to the Knicks for the 3 and, you know, for something else.
And you're keeping AD in this situation, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, I think
that's,
so.
That's the other interesting cog to this whole thing is Anthony Davis is still under contract for one more season.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, he demanded very publicly a trade earlier in the season, so he clearly doesn't want to be there. So, I don't know. If I'm the Pelicans, I think I keep Zion because he's going to be there 4 or 5 years with his rookie deal. He's stuck unless he causes a stink like we've seen. Mainly in the NFL, we've seen Eli Manning throw a fit and get traded. We saw John Elway did it back in the day, and then Bo Jackson actually did it to my Buccaneers as well.
Yeah.
But
Kyler Murray backed out of the A's.
Kyler Murray. We've not necessarily seen it in the NBA, but we have seen players, and especially in the most recent years, they're more empowered to make moves and do things. So, but I think it's more of a safe bet. By all accounts, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
And I think if you draft him, he's going to put his best foot forward and play for you. You got to bank on that. If that doesn't pan out, then you can't blame the Pelicans.
Yeah, he's too much of a competitor not to go out there and just play his heart out. I think.
And then maybe trade AD for that third pick. If you can trade AD to the Knicks, and then you can have Williamson, and you can have Barrett or Morant or whoever falls to you, then you're basically starting from scratch with two young guys who've played together at Duke, and the Knicks get basically what they want out of it, which was AD. They want AD and probably
Kyrie
or Durant or one of these big signings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pelicans have $24 million, so they could bring in a Kemba Walker. You could potentially have
big free agent class.
It really is. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, but potentially you could have Kemba, J.R. Barrett, and Zion. I mean, I wouldn't say that he's winning the championship right away, but if you can get them playing for a couple of years, very certainly they could be contenders down the line.
Yeah. Do you think that, I don't know, from what I've read, Kemba is more geared towards a Los Angeles bid. And to me, it's the risk of the Pelicans run the risk of, man, if Zion really doesn't want to play in New Orleans, then he just says, I'll wait another year and see who gets the draft pick.
Right. So how much of a draw is Zion? So if you're a free agent like Kemba Walker, and you see, okay, Zion's with New Orleans now, does that pique your interest more? Or are you still going big market Lakers, big market Knicks, or whatever the case
I guess it kind of depends where the money's at, but you got to make the comparison. It's Zion or LeBron James. That's who you're choosing to play with.
Right. So Kemba, he's not old, but
if I were Kemba, I'm picking Zion. But that's just because I think LeBron James is a cancer to a locker room.
And the Lakers are not picture of a great organization right now. They've had a lot of chaos going on.
Correct.
It definitely has shaken things up. It's also funny because the Knicks basically have had their hopes on Zion or AD. They tried to make a trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Pelicans have both of them, and the Knicks have
nothing.
Probably R.J. Barrett, who's, I think,
a fantastic
is going to be a great player.
Yeah.
And he's a Knicks. He grew up a Knicks fan, so I think it would be perfect for him to be there. But it is funny. And this draft is certainly interesting because it's, like we talked about, there's three players, but there's really one player. Like, this is the first draft in a long time that I can remember that has just been one player so much focused. So it'll be interesting to see if he does go to New Orleans, which I anticipate that being the case, whether or not he will want to stay there, because, like, AD's has wanted to leave. Other players, when Chris Paul was there, he wanted out. So it'll be interesting to see if they can keep him there and lure some pieces around him and make it an appealing place.
Yeah, it will be. And I think that's the tough thing is from Zion's perspective is no one else wants to stay here. Why would I want to go play here? Like, and there isn't a lot of prospect to win right away.
Right.
So you can compete and maybe as a rookie deal, that's what he's looking for to get his feet wet, you know, get into the speed of NBA basketball, and play with other guys who are the few guys on the planet who are as athletic and competitive as you are, which you don't see in college basketball at his level. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's a risk. I think the Pelicans have to make a long, hard decision on. I think the biggest risk here is if he doesn't sign.
Right. All right, so we'll take a quick break here, come back. We'll focus on actual on-the-court stuff and maybe talk about tanking a little bit here. You're listening to Sports Talk on KCNR 96.5 and AM 1460.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Memorial Day is May 27th, a day set aside to honor those who've gone before us and given their lives for their country. I'm Rob Burrows reminding you about the special programs this Memorial Day. Starting at 10 a.m. at the Reading Memorial Park on Continental Street in Reading, Memorial Program with refreshments. Also starting at 11 a.m. is the Memorial Day service at Anderson at the Anderson Cemetery, hosted by the Anderson VFW Post 9650, followed by an evening program at the Igo Veterans Cemetery beginning at 5:55 p.m. with a flyover. It's recommended you get to these events early because parking fills up fast. For more information, you can call the Igo Veterans Cemetery at 530-396-2447. 530-396-2447.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back in segment two, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. I'm Dan Anderson in for Connor. Alongside me is Bryce Ritchie. We're still talking basketball here. First things up were the Raptors, Bucks game one happening right now. Actually, the Raptors are up 50-42, so 8-point lead with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter. The Warriors showed up big time last night with a 26-point win without Kevin Durant.
Or DeMarcus Cousins.
I have some questions about that. But first, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because I heard somebody say this on the radio, and I was earlier today. I was a little confused because it didn't compute in my mind. But basically the three teams who tanked the worst in basketball this year were the Phoenix Suns, the Knicks, and the – who was it? They're picking fifth. I can't remember who it is now off the top of my head. But anyway, so they're picking – let me pull it up.
Well, Lakers were four.
Here it is. The Cavaliers. Cavaliers. The Knicks, the Cavs, and the Suns had the worst. The worst records, meaning the best odds to land Zion.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely were in tank mode. The Knicks for sure were in tank mode. They get the third pick. The Cavaliers get the fifth pick, and the Suns get the seventh pick. And then I heard somebody say, well, this is a clear statement that tanking is officially dead. It doesn't prove anything. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think that the results last night are going to make teams think twice about tanking next year?
No, it's still a lottery. It's just based on percentage. It doesn't matter. Like, this was just like, it's just probability. There was a small probability that this happened, and this year it happened. Like,
exactly.
You're still going to have a higher probability to land a much higher pick if you have an absolutely crap season before. If not, teams like the Warriors, who have been good, would have an equal opportunity to land the one pick, and they still don't.
Right.
No, I think you're still, teams are still going to, especially come trade deadline time, if there's no shot, they're going to, you know, they're either going to be buyers or sellers, and if they're sellers, they're going to look to, you know, tanking is a harsh word. I'm sure every front office would spin it as, we'll get our young guys some playing time and get them some, you know, NBA right. experience. And
the Sixers famously were, it was trust the process here. They exactly. No, they would ever said tanking, but. Yeah. They were taking, and the Knicks were taking hard this year for sure.
And so were the Cavs. I mean, they traded away everyone that they could.
And the Pelicans, to a certain extent, I mean, their players played hard and they had some good players out there, but basically after, and this was more, didn't have to do necessarily with taking, but once Anthony Davis made it clear he didn't want to be there, they shut him down. And he had some injury issues as well, but to a certain extent, they were tanking as well.
No, they definitely were. The league even called him out on it because even though they were resting him from time to time, they set a minimum on how many minutes he had to play. Otherwise, the NBA was going to keep finding the Pelicans.
Right. So, yeah, to me, especially in this era of analytics, everything is down to the numbers. Mm-hmm. No GM is going to sit there and would rather have the 6% because the Pelicans had a 6% chance of this happening, and it happened. The Knicks and the Cavs and the Suns had 14%. Yeah. So there's no GM that's going to take the 6 instead of the 14 just so it doesn't look as bad as a team. Because if you can land as Zion, that looks way better. So I agree with you. I don't think that this is going to deter anything. I think maybe a little like if you're on the borderline of maybe we should go for that 8th seed or maybe we should tank, for lack of a better word, maybe that will incentivize somebody, hey, maybe we'll go for it, but at the end of the day, I don't really think that that's the case. Do you have an opinion on the lottery? Do you like the lottery? Would you rather see an NFL-type situation, or do you have another idea? Because it's definitely an interesting way to do it.
It's curious. You know, there was a number of years for a while where, and even this year, the Lakers surprised everyone with their sudden super high pick, even though relative success the year before. And they certainly didn't have the success they anticipated this year, but even still landing the 4 pick.
That's a huge win. Nobody expected that, for sure.
Huge jump. Being a big market team, being the Lakers, being where LeBron James plays. Yeah. There's some question as to how...
No surprise. When I saw that they moved up, I was like, of course they did.
If there was going to be a team to do it, it's like, okay, it's going to be the Lakers. So, I'm not a huge fan of it. I do.
But you prefer the NFL system? So if you finish, it would have been the Knicks this year.
Correct.
They get Zion.
Yeah, I think it makes for a more competitive league. And people would argue it does land. Well, if that just increases teams who are going to tank harder. And, well, that's great. There's no guarantee that your pick is going to work out. There have been plenty of number one picks who have absolutely crapped the bed and turned out to be nothing. Greg Oden, tell me.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's... So it can go either way. You have no guarantees. Well, you either play hard and shoot your best shot, or, you know, you wait for another year.
Because I heard another thing floating around today, like a single elimination bracket type situation, mm-hmm. where you would have all the teams, so basically the lottery teams, everybody who didn't make the playoffs, play in an NCAA tournament type situation. You stick them in a bracket. It works out that the top two teams would get a first-round bye just so you could fit all the teams. So that year, believe it or not, would be the Kings would be the number one seed in this situation because they had the best record of the teams that didn't. And then the Heat would be the number two seed. And then you fill in the rest, and basically you play it down. And then basically the way that it was presented was if you win this tournament, you get the number one pick.
Yeah.
If you finish second, if you lose, you get the number two pick. And then they have a consolation game, so the three and four play for picks 3 and 4, and then it fills in, similar to the lottery. It would fill in, so then the fifth worst record would get the fifth pick, and it would just fill in like as your record would dictate. Any interest in that? It definitely would.
It's different.
Be huge ratings and, for sure.
Yeah, and Adam Silver is all about mixing things up. So I mean, I could see it happening. I think it'd be cool to watch. It'd be nice because you would see far fewer teams shut down players, you know, with a week or two left stating injury because, you know, they wouldn't be able to play in this tournament and you wouldn't have a shot at getting the one pick. But I think it actually would change the dynamic up because a lot of these teams who are stuck in the middle of the pack, with like one good player, like the Kings several years ago when they had Cousins, right?
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah, and that was it. They could never drop low enough to get an amazing pick, but they can never succeed with Cousins to make a strong playoff run and have a shot at winning. So their only option was to trade DeMarcus.
Right.
But now with this, they have a legitimate shot.
Because you just need to win 3 games, basically.
Correct. You have a legitimate shot at winning out and winning that number one pick. So now you're bringing in a number one pick with a player.
A close to playoff team. So like the Kings correct. This year, mm-hmm. it to me, I think it's almost a no-brainer because, first of all, revenue would generate would be fantastic because you're getting more games
yep.
from these teams who normally would be off fishing somewhere. People are going to be highly – I mean, the ratings on watching a guy read envelopes last night was incredibly high. So if you actually put a game into it
yep.
and teams, instead of tanking, you're going to try to get one of those buys because that's one less win you have to get in a row to get the pick. So the Kings are rewarded for pushing for that eighth slot. I mean, I know the Kings – the huge issue or reason they did it was because they didn't have a number one pick this year, so there's no point to do any taking. But you would have a situation where teams would, at all costs, any win helps you out in your seeding in this tournament. I think it'd be great. Logistically, I don't know how it would work out, but you could easily shave off a couple games of a regular season because you could tell the owners, you're not losing your revenue because we're going to get it back here. Or you're going to be in the playoffs and you're going to get more games
either,
as well.
Either way, you're playing.
And you can smash. The thing about the NBA playoffs that still bothers me is how there's still, like, we have 2 days off between games in the same city.
Yes.
So you could squeeze that down a little bit. But I don't know. I think that would be interesting. Definitely way to do it. I think it would at least be 4 years before it would even be plausible because the collective bargaining agreement doesn't come up for a few years down the line. I know you want to talk about free agents. Do you have any there's
well,
a huge
class. It's just the list is immense.
Because we got Durant, Leonard, Irving, Walker, Thompson, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, just to name a few.
And a couple of these we already know where we're pretty sure we're going to go. Like D'Angelo Russell and Porzingis obviously are probably going to re-sign. I think that's what everyone has established with them. But those top nine that you just – or top eight that you just listed are up in the air. Like they could Durant obviously Durant and Kyrie. There's been rumors of both of them going to New York. People now after this playoff run are Kawhi is leaning more towards staying in Toronto. But I mean
Cousins is out there as well.
Yeah, and rumors flying around Klay Thompson, but Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton. I mean, a lot of these contender teams right now, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Warriors, they're losing all or have potential to lose a lot of their talent. And they might, like, and the Warriors don't have the money to sign all three of those guys to a max contract.
Right.
The Bucks don't have the money to sign. I think they're losing, like, 3 or 4 of their top 8 players to sign all of those guys to the money they're going to want. So you're going to see a definite dynamic shift within the NBA next season.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think Durant is the linchpin to this whole thing. The teams are going to go after Durant as hard as they can because he's, I think, the best player.
He's the best player.
And if you can't get him, then it's going to be a mad scramble. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because it will be basically we're all waiting to see where Durant goes and then money grab basically from all these other players. Where can I go? What's the best situation for me? I think Durant goes to New York almost certainly. I feel like it just seems like he wants to go be the guy again.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's done well to his credit. I'm not a huge Durant fan, some of his antics off the court, but obviously he's a great player.
Agreed.
And I like the fact that he was willing to step aside and say, I'll share some of the load to win. I think that says a lot about him in a certain aspect. An interesting, definitely this lottery has set up a huge chain of reactions that who knows what we're going to see, but buckle up because it's going to be a fun off season. Yeah. I know I promised we'll go on the court, and we will after this break. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Segment 3 of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Dan Anderson in alongside Bryce Ritchie filling in for Connor today. Now we're going to talk about basketball actually on the court stuff. Right now we're in the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals going on right now, Game 1. It's halftime. The Raptors lead that one by 8 at the break versus the Bucks, and we had the Warriors take the Blazers out by 22. Somewhat surprising, I think, because they are down KD, down DeMarcus, obviously. Were you surprised by the result of last night's game?
A little bit. Not so much. I mean, how it happened, yes. That it happened, no. I if I were to put my money on the Warriors in Oakland, I would put them on to win.
Right.
But the Blazers just came out looking flat. And, you know, their head coach took a question post-game interview about their defensive strategy against Steph about the bigs going under screens. And he defended it with, well, they tried trapping him in the fourth quarter.
In Houston.
And he took over for 33 points.
Right.
Which is a fair point, except for the fact that he's the greatest shooter of all time. The last thing I don't care if he went off for one game and you tried trapping him. There are other options besides going under. You hedge, you go over, you blow up the screen, lots of other options. But the last thing you can do is give him a foot because, as the Warriors have shown and kind of transformed basketball in this way, is the three-point shot is far more valuable than the two. So, yes, let him go by or pull your big up. If he goes by, then you have help on the weak side. But if you sag, you're giving the greatest shooting backcourt of all time just whatever they want from the three-point line.
Right. I think I was slightly surprised, but then more I thought about it. The Blazers coming off a much more grueling series than the Warriors had to come off of. Slightly surprising that the Timberwolves even made it to this position. I think most people had the money on Denver to win it. But Curry kind of free with Durant gone. He knows he has to step up. He has 36 points, including 9 threes in a big situation. To me, it's more I thought about it, like I said, it's not that surprising because basically this series, the guard plays are the premier players because you got Klay and Steph for the Warriors, and you have Dame and CJ McCollum, who are great players, don't get me wrong, but there's no situation where you would rather have Steph and Klay on your team than those two guys. So I think for this matchup, maybe it's almost good that Durant is not there because it's freeing up these two guys to play. I think Durant is going to be hugely missed if they go to Milwaukee. If in the finals, you need Durant back. Because I heard somebody say that today. Are the Warriors better without Durant? I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think maybe just last night. Do you think the series, did the Warriors show you so much that you think, this is? Are you going to pull a Paul Pierce here, basically, and say this series is over?
I will never pull a Paul Pierce in my life. Not going to happen. No, the series isn't over by any means because as we've seen, even the greatest shooter of all time can go extremely cold. And
we saw Lillard only made 4 baskets last night from the field. And
McCollum carried him, turned
it over 7 times. Dame is not going to be that bad again. So I agree.
Yeah.
I still put my money on the Warriors to win the series, but it's not going to be 22-point blowouts every night.
No, I'd say 5 or 6 games. I think if the Blazers definitely take at least one in Portland.
That crowd is going to be going nuts.
Yeah, intense, because this is the matchup. This is what they've waited for. Dame is capable, and McCollum are capable of that, just going off, you know. I think the Blazers will make it more competitive. I still give the Warriors the edge. I mean, ask me 3 months ago, I wouldn't have picked the Blazers to be here either.
Exactly.
My pick was the Nuggets to be in the Western Conference Finals at the end of the season.
And I had the Rockets, so I would have put the Rockets in this situation, but then they messed up their seeding and
that very last stretch of the season where a couple teams won, a couple teams lost, and they dropped like 3 spots. The Rockets,
right?
Did,
yeah,
which yeah, it hurt them because if they had been up higher, they wouldn't have met the Warriors until now, and I think that would have helped quite a bit. But yeah, you're right. The Blazers did have a tougher series. The matchup definitely favors the Warriors just because Dame isn't an especially proficient defensive player, and so going against players like Steph and Klay is going to be difficult on them. But they compete, and especially at home, they play really well.
Right.
So I think they'll definitely make a series out of it.
And then one more point I just want to make about the Kevin Durant thing, because I was thinking about that comment I heard that somebody said that the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant, but really, Durant, I think, obviously he sucks up more of the offense and they play a little bit slower mm-hmm. when he's in the game, but not super slow by any stretch of the imagination. But what he's really done is helped take miles off the legs of these guys that are now are playing free. So to totally write it off and go, oh, look, without KD, they would have been their 73-win season again, I think is a huge stretch and very disrespectful to Kevin Durant. Like, we both talked, I think we said it off the air, but probably the best player in the league right now. And we think maybe we don't like him as a person that much, but he is definitely, I mean, if you went to the Kings next year, I would be wearing a Kevin Durant jersey. I'll tell you that right now. So we both think Warriors win Western Conference Finals. It's going to be closer than last night showed. On the Eastern Conference side, like I said, we got the Milwaukee Bucks led by Giannis and the Raptors with Kawhi, mm-hmm. Who has really stepped up big time this playoffs. I mean, he's always been an unbelievable player, but he's really been able to show this in primetime. I think a lot more people are looking Toronto's way and go, hey, maybe they got something brewing. What do you like in this series? Right now, it's game one's happening, 8-point lead for the Raptors. They're at home. They're in Milwaukee.
They are in Milwaukee. Milwaukee had the best record in the league.
Right. So who do you like in this series? Do you think
I still, even with that 8-point deficit, I look at the stat line. My pick is still the Bucks, which is bad news if you're a Warriors fan because the Bucks played the Warriors really, really well this season, and they're a very difficult team to go up against because a lot of their players are built like Giannis, where they're extremely tall and extremely long and play good defense. And I think that's what's really going to come down to it is, you're right, Kawhi is having an unbelievable postseason run, leading in, I think, besides Kevin Durant, which he's only played, a partial playoff series, second in points per game, scored the most points. But I think the Bucks have the depth and that the Raptors don't. And I think the Raptors are more prone to looking like they did in Game 7 in the previous series, which, I mean, they won by one of the most incredible shots I've ever seen.
That was unbelievable.
But at the same time, they came down the floor. And for 6-7 possessions in a row, they looked absolutely flat. It was ISO ball with Kawhi backing down. He got doubled, had a turnover one time, took a couple bad shots. And so my fear is that they're going to run his legs out. And
Kawhi's legs, you mean? Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah, and they don't have the supporting cast to pick up the slack when he's off the floor.
Yeah, I agree with you almost 100% there. I still like the Bucks to win this series. It's a little bit closer than I would have said before the playoffs had started. I would have wrote the Bucks all the way through. Kawhi has been unbelievable, but how sustainable is it? Like you said, it seems like he's been outputting so much effort and energy mm-hmm. that at some point, especially a team like the Bucks, who have been the best team in the league, like we said, they own the best record throughout the whole season. They were great all year. They had a couple blips there, but for the most part, they were the best team in the league, and they earned that number one seed, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I think the team that is a little bit deeper, and Giannis is that probably going to win the MVP this year.
I just think
he's going to push them over the edge, and so in theory, we're going to have a Warriors versus Bucks mm-hmm. NBA Finals. Which you already alluded to, that could be trouble for the Warriors. Is this the year that the Warriors get taken down by somebody other than LeBron James?
It really depends how long these series go. If either one of these series goes to 7 games, I think that the Warriors have a much better chance because they have a higher probability of getting Kevin Durant and or DeMarcus Cousins back.
If Durant doesn't come back,
yes,
do the Warriors have a fighting chance? Because who's guarding Giannis in this situation? Draymond, probably, but...
No, it would be a mix between Draymond and Iguodala. You start the Hamptons five is, who you're running with. You have to rely on them to stop Giannis and just to force him out of the perimeter and not allow him to slash. His game is getting to the rim, and, you know, attacking off the dribble. And teams make the mistake of sagging off of him rather than denying the ball. And so when he gets, and he gets momentum, it's like trying to stop a freight train. That he's unbelievable in transition and with momentum, even in half court. So, I think it'll be, like you said, a lot about the matchup with Giannis.
Right. So if I'm putting your feet to the fire, do the Warriors in seven. I want to say the Bucks are going to do it, but I know that that's probably coming from a lot of jealousy from the Warriors. I just want them to lose. So
fair enough.
That's a series I think will be a lot of fun to watch.
I'd be okay with either team winning, honestly. And if I had to pick another team to win it, it would be, like, I would want Milwaukee.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take one last break. We'll come back, maybe talk a little baseball, because that's what we do when I'm here and Connor can't tell me to stop. You're listening to KCNR, AM 1460 and 96.5 FM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at WePeopleRadio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Final segment here, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Dan Anderson in for Connor today alongside with Bryce Ritchie. Mm. Now we get to talk about the sport we really love, baseball. Connor can't tell me not to talk about it, and it's too boring for him, and he only likes to watch little clips on YouTube or whatever. But baseball, have you been watching a lot? This is a question. Actually, I was thinking about this earlier today when I found out we were doing the show together. I know Connor's has talked about in the recent years his interest has waned from watching, and I always like to tell him, well, that's probably because you're a Giants fan. No offense. You're a Giants fan as well.
I am a huge Giants fan.
But
I understand what you're saying.
Because they haven't been as competitive.
And even when they were, their type of baseball is not flashy.
Exactly.
It's not home runs and tons of runs. It's defense and pitching.
And his number one sport is basketball. Yours, I've known you for a while. I'm pretty certain that your favorite sport to watch is baseball.
That would be correct.
Has your interest waned at all watching baseball? And is it? Do you think, what do you attribute it to if it has?
No, not really. I think just I am a traditionalist for baseball, so no matter how good or bad the team is doing, it's just part of the game, you know? And so knowing that they're going to have up and down years is part of the fandom. You got to go through the crap in order to enjoy the good years. Otherwise, you get labeled a bandwagon fan, and I'm definitely not that.
You certainly are not.
If anything, I would say probably in the last, I mean, it helped that they won 3-5, you know, but in the last several years, I've actually probably started paying more attention to baseball as a whole, other teams, the entire league, rather than just focusing on the Giants.
Yeah, I think, to me, I think we're fairly similar in the old school mentality, except for our debate we've been having for about a decade over the designated hitter.
Yep.
But to me, I could watch the Red Sox play. If they're 0-161, I'll watch that last game because if the Red Sox are on, I'm watching it. Baseball, to me, I think, Tim Anderson, this also piqued my interest this week because I'm surprised Connor didn't text me about it. So Tim Anderson with the White Sox, who's been playing great baseball this year, and because of that, he's felt empowered to be a little bit more outspoken about things.
Yeah.
And he said that baseball's boring, and he doesn't like to watch baseball, although he does it every single day, and it's his livelihood. So it was interesting to me that a player who's having a lot of success right now is coming out and saying baseball is boring. Do you think it's any more boring than it has been, or do you think that the viewers are getting less shorter? Because to me, the viewers, I think the attention span is so much shorter than it was back in the day that it has made it seem like it's more boring. But I don't think baseball has made some effort to shorten speed up the pace of play. Do you think it's more boring than it was, or you just think that we got a new generation of fans who are finding it boring?
A new generation, you know. I'm okay with a 1-0 game. I love great pitching. I love, my favorite part about baseball is defense. You see a guy rob a home run or make a sliding catch along the line. And so if you have a 1-0 game, that's fine by me. And that might be partly because I was raised a Giants fan. And so
that's Giants baseball, right?
Other than, you know, the 90s and very early 2000s with Bonds, there hasn't been a lot of flashy baseball and for the Giants. So I really do attribute it to a new viewership. The shorter attention span with other leagues making, especially with the NBA making adjustments, I think it's pushing viewers to expect that from other leagues as well. And so when they're not seeing it on the baseball side of things, they turn away.
Right, I agree with that. The other thing that I heard Beckham kind of allude, or excuse me, Anderson, Tim Anderson, not Tim Beckham, Tim Anderson had alluded to was, because he gets some flack for how high he's flipping his bat and he's trying to create a lot of character, and we've seen that with Bryce Harper and some of these younger, Yasiel Puig.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not the issue at all. I don't think that having guys be more flashy and bringing it in would bring more viewers in. And what I would say to Connor, because we've been having this debate on this show for quite some time, actually, about is baseball dying? And to a certain extent, I see Connor's point, because viewership has gone down, attendance has gone down, but not to a rate that I think is catastrophic.
Yeah.
And actually, the regional numbers for TV are higher, so that means, like, you're here in Giant Country, you're watching Giants, and people are watching the Giants here.
Yeah.
Not many people are watching the Braves, but you're watching your team, so I think the fan bases hold strong in their regional coverage, but a lot of people like to point to the national numbers. That Sunday night baseball game, it used to be almost must-see baseball when they're showing Red Sox-Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
People are tuning into that, but now maybe not so much because there's a lot more stuff available to watch, And if it's not your team, you're not going to sit 3.5 hours aside and watch the Red Sox and Yankees play unless you're a Red Sox Yankee fan or it's a pennant race or whatever the situation may be. To me, what I would like to see baseball do to help this situation is they need to do something about the attendance. Because if you can get a family in the stadium, and like if I take my son to the baseball game and he can have a connection and see these players, guess what he's going to want to do when we're not at the game? We're going to turn it on and watch. So, and I know the Twins, who actually are a bit surprising in the, unless you listen to the show mid-March when I told everybody that I like the Twins.
That the Twins were going to play.
But what they did was they are selling, I think they are going to do 11,000 more because it's been so great. I can't remember the number, but they were selling tickets for $5 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out immediately. They're about to release another 11,000 at $5 a piece. And their attendance numbers are up. And guess what those kids are going to do? They're going to start watching it. So I think baseball.
You're building a fan base.
I don't know if they need to make a rule, but it's ridiculous. The prices nowadays, especially for these big market teams, it's ridiculous. You can't take a family of four in there. And then if you're kind of beholden to the $8 hot dog or whatever the case may be. So baseball, I think it would be nice if they stepped in and tried to regulate a little bit some of this stuff because it's nice. That's where your fan base is. And I've seen that with, I know a lot of people don't like this, but NASCAR. I'm a NASCAR fan, and a lot of people go, how can you watch that? That's so boring. But if you go to a race with me, like that, people go, oh, it's interesting because they get the seat up close and personal. You kind of get involved and you make that connection. And then you're more interested in watching on TV because you're seeing it in a whole different light. So I don't think that it's, like I said, baseball is not catastrophically dying, and I think the regional numbers, like I said, are up. So we'll close out a little bit today talking about any storylines that pop at you from early baseball season this year. The Red Sox, my team, started off a little...
Real slow.
A little cold, if I say a little.
Scary.
I was having cardiac
arrhythmia situations. Yeah, we're getting teams beat by teams that they had no business losing to.
But what I told you right before we started the segment, in the last 2 weeks, they were minus 28 in run differential, now plus 26, starting to smooth things out and make me feel a little bit more comfortable. But anything else besides the Red Sox?
I mean, not so much. The DH is an abomination, and
that is a topic we would need the entire hour and then some to argue.
I completely agree. I think my one note from your comment was, you know, bat flips. You're right. I don't think they do anything for the game. But what basketball has done to transform their viewership is they found a way to make the game or the sport relevant off the court. You know, you watch SportsCenter, it's 90% about what's happening off the court and who tweeted this and this person said that, and it's 10% about the actual game. And so the bat flipping and antics like that I think might help establish baseball in that way where they can talk about it when it's not baseball season or when there's not, you know, no games on TV. It might make it more relevant because they can talk about the drama.
The personalities and
drama.
Do you think Mike Trout, who's, in my opinion, the best player in baseball right now, because he's so understated, he's not really a superstar in the classical sense of the word where you think he's out there embracing the media. He's kind of, I mean, he's in Anaheim.
Yeah.
So it's close to a big market, but they're not the biggest team in their,
their
area. So do you think because of that, that hurts the league, that he's not so outspoken?
A little bit, but I also think you touched on it. High ticket prices and the national viewership. And the main reason for the national viewership being down is because they're airing games or playing games when half the country's asleep. You have a 7 p.m. start time on the West Coast. You're going to get no viewers on the East Coast. Why? Who's going to stay up till 10 p.m. watching a game that they're not necessarily a fan? Even if you're a baseball fan, like...
And that I think that hurts with Trout because he's playing a lot of those 7 p.m. starts on the West Coast. That's 10 p.m. on the East Coast that ends at 1 a.m.
1 a.m.,
And no kids are staying up for that. And that's the other thing that I think hurts. The other thing I was going to say was, do you think instant replay at all? Because we used to have these managers that arguing calls, creating some controversies. But because now you just go, hey, look at it in the film, and then they go, actually, he was safe. Do you think that hurts at all as well?
It slows down the game a little. And the real issue, which baseball will never touch, is commercial breaks. They'll never touch it. But it's really what it comes down to, is the game's lull comes down to commercial, because you do have pitching changes, mound visits in between innings, all that kind of stuff. One note, this especially for Connor, found this on Twitter the other day, saved it just for this reason. Average MLB game, 3 hours and 4 minutes. Average NFL game, 3 hours and 8 minutes. NFL action, 15 minutes. MLB action, 18 minutes.
All right, Chapter 35 of Dan and Bryce Speaks Baseball. We'll come back next week. Thanks for listening to the KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.